In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we are now in the month of November, the month of the holy souls, the suffering souls, in purgatory. And we have a lot to learn from them, especially about treating holy things in a holy manner. And this concerns, I will hope you will readily understand, not only physical objects which we touch. It concerns, in a certain manner, our entire spiritual life, the state of soul we find ourselves in when receiving communion, for one, the way we behave when we're in church, for another. The souls in purgatory teach us, by their apparitions to various saints, that we should treat holy things in a holy manner. All irreverence in prayer and religious exercises is extremely displeasing to God. Take the example from the life of the Venerable Agnes of Langeac, of whom we have learned. She was prioress of her convent, and she very much recommended to her religious sisters respect and fervor in their relations with God, reminding them of these words of Holy Scripture: "Accursed be he who does the work of God with negligence." Now, a sister of the community named Angélique died. The pious superior was praying near her tomb when suddenly she saw the deceased sister dressed in the full religious habit. She felt at the same time as though a flame of fire touched her face. Sister Angélique thanked her for having stimulated her to fervor, and particularly for having frequently made her repeat during her life these words: "Accursed be he who does the work of God with negligence. Continue, mother," she added, "to urge the sisters to fervor. Let them serve God with the utmost diligence, to love him with their whole heart and with all the power of their soul. For if they could but understand how rigorous are the torments of purgatory, they would never be guilty of the least neglect." This foregoing warning regards in a special manner priests whose relations with God are continual and more sublime. Let them, therefore, remember it always and never forget it when they offer to God the incense of prayer, or whether they dispense the divine treasures of the sacraments, or whether at the altar they celebrate the mysteries of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to what St. Peter Damian relates in his 14th letter to Desiderius. St. Severin, Archbishop of Cologne, built his church by an example of all virtues. His apostolic life, his great labors for the extension of God's kingdom in souls, had merited for him the honors of canonization, being a canonized saint. Nevertheless, after his death, he appeared to one of the canons of the cathedral to ask for his prayers. This worthy priest, not being able to understand that a holy bishop, such as he had known Severin to be, could stand in need of prayers in the other life, the deceased bishop replied, "It is true, God gave me grace to serve him with all my heart and to labor in his vineyard, but I often offended him by the haste with which I recited the holy office, the breviary. The occupations of each day so much absorbed my attention that when the hour of prayer came, I acquitted myself of that great duty without recollection, and sometimes at another hour than the one appointed by the church. And at this moment, I am expiating those infidelities, and God permits me to come and ask you for your prayers." The biography adds that Severin was 6 months in purgatory for that one fault. Venerable Sister Frances of Pamplona one day saw in purgatory a poor priest whose fingers were eaten away with frightful ulcers. He was punished for having at the altar made the sign of the cross with too much levity and not enough gravity. She said that in general, priests remain longer in purgatory than laymen, and that the intensity of their torments is in proportion to their dignity. God revealed to this holy religious the fate of several deceased priests. One of them had to undergo 40 years of suffering for having, by his neglect, allowed a person to die without the sacraments. Another remained there for 45 years for having performed the sublime functions of his ministry with a certain levity. A bishop, whose generosity had caused him to be named the Almoner, was detained there in purgatory for 5 years because he sought that dignity. God wills that we should serve him with our whole heart, and that we should avoid, insofar as the frailty of human nature will permit, even the slightest imperfections. But the care to please him and the fear of displeasing him must be accompanied by a humble confidence in his mercy. Jesus Christ has admonished us to hear those whom he has appointed in his place to be our spiritual guides, as we would listen to him himself, and to follow the advice of our superior or confessor with perfect confidence. Thus, an excessive fear is an offense against God's infinite mercy. Take, finally, the example from November 12th of the year 1643. Father Philip Strait of the Society of Jesus, a religious of great holiness, died at the novitiate of Brunn in Bohemia. Every day he made his examination of conscience with the greatest care, and he acquired by this means great purity of soul. But some hours after his death, he appeared all radiant to one of the fathers of his order, Venerable Martin Streza. "One single fault," he said, "prevents me from going to heaven and detains me 8 hours here in purgatory. It is that of not having sufficiently confided in the words of my superior, who in the last moments of my life strove to calm some little trouble of conscience that I had. I ought to have regarded his words as the voice of God himself." Finally, dear faithful, let us listen to the voice of God through these holy souls in purgatory. It will benefit not only the holy souls when we pray for them, but we will be able to learn from them and thus prepare the way for a blessed eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.